remarks of the President, Glasgow, Montana, 30 September, 1952.
Thank you very much. It's not very often that the President rates two bands in one morning. That's wonderfully done. I appreciate very much this welcome this early in the morning to the great state of Montana. I came into Wolf Point last night and there were 500 or 600 people on the platform, and I got up to leave this morning, there were 700 or 800 there. See me off. Wish me well, and I certainly appreciate that. I remember stopping here in 1950. I just come from seeing Fort Peck Dam, the greatest earth dam in the world. I had a good time on that trip, and I'm certainly having a good time now. And I'm here in one of my five official capacities. As the head of the Democratic Party, I'm on a campaign trip to tell you the truth about what the issues in this campaign are and to bring to light some of the misrepresentations that are being made by the opposition, and I'm not wasting any words on it either. Now, you have a wonderful ticket here in Montana. You've just been had them all introduced to you. And when you have a ticket like that, you can't help but do the country good when you vote the Democratic ticket. I've known Mike Mansfield, well, I don't know how many years, as long as he's been in Congress. And he's one of the best that's ever been in that Congress. He's done more for the state of Montana than any other congressman that's ever come from this state. And you have Mr. Frazier, who will do the things for Montana just as Mike has done. He impresses me as being a good man. Now, I know your governor very well. He's a great person. And if you don't send him back, why, you lose by it. Of course, I served in the Senate with Jim Murray. He got there just a few days before I did and always had precedence over me. He had the protocol on me, but I cured that. Jim Murray's been a good senator. He's been for the interests of the people, and he's always fighting for the welfare of Montana. He told me a while ago he wanted me to remark that he wanted to run for re-election in 1954, and if he does, I'm for him. But the national ticket is the thing that I'm out here to talk to you about. Adlai Stevenson is talking sense to the American people. He has a healthy respect for the people, and he cares about your interests and your future. That certainly is proved by his fine record as governor of Illinois. And John Sparkman's the same kind of a man. His whole career in Congress has been spent fighting for the things the plain people of this country want and need. Ask Mike Mansfield about John Sparkman. He can tell you just the sort of a person he is. Before I go further, I want to say how sorry I was to hear of all your troubles in the flood last year. But I'm told things are pretty well back to normal now. I'm glad we were able to give you some emergency help from Washington. In the next few years, I hope we can do a lot more for flood control work and soil conservation and give you permanent protection. But I'm here to tell you, if you elect a Republican Congress and a Republican president, you won't get it and you won't deserve it. I'm always glad to see our government helping people do things they couldn't get done for themselves. That's what the government is for. And that's what your Democratic administrations have been doing these 20 years, helping the people of this country to make things better for themselves. That's point four, working at home. Take our farm programs. They're a good example. We've worked to build up the land through soil conservation, reclamation, and irrigation projects like the ones you have here. We've worked to bring electric power to the farm at reasonable rates through the REA and your fine cooperatives. That's one of the best programs the government ever started. And do you know, it had to be fought through. It had vicious Republican opposition. We've worked to make sure the farmers could count on fair prices for their crops and a really good living on a family-sized farm. That's what makes Charlie Brannan one of the greatest secretaries of agriculture we've ever had. He's for the family-sized farm, and that's what he's been working for ever since he's been secretary of agriculture. Now all these things are doing a lot of good. They're good for the farmers, and the farm prosperity is good for everybody. I'm sure you know that here in Glasgow. But you'll never keep these things if the Republicans grab the White House and the Congress in November. If that happens, this country's in for a bad time. You better make up your minds to that. I'm not exaggerating. I know it's true, because I'm very familiar with the Republican record in Congress. And my friends, their record is terrible. All you've got to do is to read it. Their record is so bad that it's hard to believe. But if you just look at the facts as I have done, you can see for yourself it's all down in black and white, but it's mostly fine print and it's hard to read. That's the reason I'm bringing it to your attention. You ought to read that fine print in the Congressional Record, and then you know just exactly what these birds do to you if they get in there. Now, my Republican friends don't want you to find that out. So they try to distract you by heaping abuse on the Democrats. And just in case that doesn't convince you, they resort to downright untruths and falsehoods about what actually happened in the past. They just rewrite the record to suit themselves, and they think you won't read that fine print, but I'm urging you to do it. They think if they tell you a false story often enough, you'll get confused about what really happened and come up to believe their version of it. Don't you do that. You'd be believing something that's absolutely contrary to your own interests. And I want to tell you about some of these Republican attempts to rewrite the record. First, let's take the story on REA appropriations back in that terrible 80th Congress, which I talked to you about in 1948. The Republicans had control of that Congress, and they came out and showed you just exactly what they'd do if they had the power. If you hadn't had a man in the White House to head them off, they'd have ruined you. Now, the Republican candidate for president had the nerve to stand up at Omaha the other day and say that the 80th Congress had gladly appropriated $800 million for REA, and that proved the Republicans just loved rural electrification. But what he didn't say was this. There were four record votes on funds for REA during the life of that Congress. And every single time the Republicans in both House and Senate voted overwhelmingly to slash the funds. The only reason REA got that $800 million was that practically every Democratic member of the Congress voted for it, and there were a handful of friendly Republicans that voted to put it over. Yet the Republican candidates want you to believe the Republican Party favored REA 4 years ago. Well, that's what I mean when I tell you to read the record. In addition to that, you know, the operation of that $800 million fund had to have an administrative setup. That is, it had to have engineers and clerks and surveyors and things to see that the lines went in as they should go. But what did the Republicans do? That great statesman from New Hampshire, Mr. Bridges, got an amendment to the appropriation bill which cut $700,000 off the administrative fund of REA. And that meant that the whole survey crowd, the engineers and everybody else in connection with it, had to be thrown out. I think there were some 2,000 employees of REA taken off the payroll. The men who actually put the REA into effect, they fixed it so that one engineer had to look after Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and the eastern half of Montana, and you just simply couldn't do it. So while they say they appropriated the $800 million, they fixed it so it couldn't be spent. That's the way they do a lot of things, and then make you believe that they've done a lot for you. Now here's another. The story on that terrible shortage of grain storage back in 1948, when the 80th Congress stopped the Commodity Credit Corporation from providing storage space for farmers. And that amendment to the Commodity Credit Corporation to prevent storage space for farmers was put through by men who are interested in grain storage in their private business. The Republican candidate made a speech at Quezon, Montana, at Quezon, Minnesota, and said that the 80th Congress did not prevent the CCC from providing storage space for grain. Furthermore, he said there was no shortage of storage back in 1948. And finally, he said, the CCC didn't provide storage space anyway. Now, let me tell you the truth. In the first place, I have on the train here the report of the official report of the Committee of the House of Representatives in the 80th Congress in 1949. This report concerned a bill to restore to the CCC the powers that the Republican candidate says were never taken away. And that was the 81st Congress, not the 80th, the 81st Congress, the one after the 80th. And this report says flatly that there had been a shortage of storage space in the 1948. And it says the 80th Congress had helped to cause a shortage by stopping the CCC from providing storage space. Now, why a candidate for president would get up and misrepresent the facts in a manner like that's more than I can tell. He must have been sure that I didn't know the record, and I was there when it was made. There is the record. And I don't recall that any Republican raised a voice against this report and didn't deny it on the floor of the House. Now, one thing more. The Democratic 81st Congress gave the Commodity Credit Corporation its powers back again. And since that time, the CCC has been steadily leasing storage to farmers. Moreover, since 1949, the government has loaned farmers more than $35 million to build extra storage space for themselves. All that, of course, is storage which the Republican candidate said did not exist and was not needed. And here are two specific cases where the Republicans are trying to confuse you on the facts, and I could tell you about a lot of others. I'm sorry to say it's their candidate for president himself who's doing this. He's acting no better than the rest of them. In fact, I think he believes everything that those old lying, looking backward Republicans tell him, and then he gets up on the platform and says it. Either he doesn't know what's been going on in the country, or he's adopted the party, or he doesn't care. But regardless of his motives, you must not let him fool you. No, I like Ike. You see signs all around some of my meetings. I like Ike. I like Ike, too, but I liked Ike as the commanding general of the armed forces in France, and I won't like him for president. I don't see how you people can afford to take a risk with a man like that or with a party like that. You can't put your future in the hands of men who won't tell you the truth. You can't trust a party that's always been against you. Think of your own interests. Think what will happen if they get control of the government. Think. Just think what would happen to the soil conservation, to flood control, to all the rest of the things for which the Democratic Party has stood over the last 20 years and which the Democratic Party has put into effect. Now, they're saying that everything we've done's wrong. My friends, if everything we've done's wrong, the country never was in better shape than it is now. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to turn the clock back and suffer a little while, you get it if you turn this government over to them. I want you to go to the polls in November the 4th and exercise your right and prerogative as the government of the United States, because the people of the United States are the government. I want you to go there and vote for yourselves and vote for the welfare of this great nation of ours and vote for the welfare and peace of this world by voting the Democratic ticket. And then we'll have 4 more years with the country safe and the world at peace. Thank you very much. I have a young lady along with me. If you'd like to meet her, I'll bring her out here. She's my daughter. Here's Margaret.